Welcome,
Matt Howey.
Welcome,
Jessamine.
Welcome to the Metafilter Podcast.
MC Frontalot.
Hey, hey, hey.
Hey!
So are you you rehearsing for the big tour?
Yeah, we've been doing that the last few days. We had a really sort of sleepy-looking rehearsal this morning at 10, which we had to conclude quickly so that the drummer could go do his day job at the dildo store in Northampton.
Sweet.
Wait, he works at the dildo store in Northampton, Massachusetts?
Yeah.
You have a bi-coastal band?
Yeah, I have bands all over the place. I'm in Brooklyn. My main collaborator and like official keyboardist lives with me in Brooklyn. My bass player has just moved to New Haven because he fell in love with a scientist at Yale.
Good gracious.
One of my drummers lives in Staten Island. Another of them lives here in Northampton. My newest drummer lives in San Francisco. And my keyboardist, who's coming on tour with us for the first time, Vic 20, he lives in San Francisco also. We had to import him.
Your drummer in Austin was amazing.
Was that he was
the
great.
Dark Lord
yes,
guy?
That's the guy. That's the star genius. He's the one who's coming with us for this couple of months here.
Sweet. So why is your tour, I saw your tour dates, mostly the South, right?
First half of it's through the South and up into the Rockies. The second half of it will be West Coast through the Midwest and back to the Northeast.
Oh, so that hasn't been announced yet.
Yeah, second half of it I need to get posted, perhaps today. Internet's been a bit spotty. Apparently working at the dildo store does not pay the Sir Genius enough to have good internet at his house.
Aww.
Aww.
The public library in Northampton has great Wi-Fi, the Coolidge Library.
Oh, nice.
Send him over there with laptop.
We're actually up in Holyoke for the recordings. But,
oh, sweet.
I mean, for the rehearsings. But now I'm at Eastworks, home of Topatico and also Diesel Sweeties Industries or whatever Rich calls his business.
Oh, cool. I thought he was Canadian.
So I'm going to be leeching their internet all day.
Are you going to make it up to Portland on the West Coast tour?
We are. I think we're playing Dante's.
Oh, sweet. Sweet. I watched Nerdcore Uprising on the flight home. That was 2006, right?
That was the first tour we did, and it was in 2006 when that got filmed.
And like,
see all of our youthful innocence melting away right before your eyes.
I was watching it, and I was remembering your shows in Austin. Like, it seemed like half the shows like weren't that great, like in terms of the audience and the crowd acceptance, and like, does that
still? Oh, in the movie?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you've gotten and your stage presence has gotten like way better and more fun. But
thanks.
Even in Austin,
yeah,
I sort of saw it in Austin, like the Web Awards, like that was weird, not receptive crowd, like, and it was like how I mean, what's your batting average on doing a show that's like successful and not successful these days?
Well, it is pretty rare that we have something like those Web Awards where we've been just kind of brought in to provide some kind of interstitial entertainment and the crowd is not there for us and doesn't necessarily know who we are. Those shows are always, you know, a little rough on the ego, but they're very few and far between, and they're usually pretty well compensated financially or else you wouldn't even be in that situation. So you kind of use that to bring yourself back up to an emotional parity of some kind.
I was wondering if is that the largest like bad crowd you've played to, or have you played even larger crowd
halftime shows or something?
Actually, you know, the very largest crowd I've ever played in front of was also the worst in terms of ratio of fans to completely disinterested parties, and that was at BlizzCon last year. That room had 10,000 kids in it. And
Jesus.
Oh, my God.
We were brought in to do little three-song sets in between each panel.
Oh, gosh.
And the kids just desperately wanted to see the next panel, and none of them would leave their seats because then someone else of the like 30,000 people in the convention center, so they were all like hovering, waiting to grab those chairs. So they just wanted to watch panels all afternoon and find out, you know, what the shaman's new fucking power-up was going to be. And And so we come out and we're doing these three song sets, and you know, the sound is never like terribly crisp in a room that size, and so I don't think they could hear the lyrics necessarily, and I, most of them didn't know who I was, and there was a nice little crowd of kids who were surprised that, you know, their favorite nerd rapper had shown up randomly at BlizzCon, who were up front like freaking out, but it was like a handful of them, and then this room of 10,000 people just like waiting for me to get on. And then we had to do that like 4-5 times over the course of the afternoon. But on the other hand, we got to hang out backstage with Ozzy Osbourne, so
sweet.
You get and you give.
Was Mr. T there, since he's sort of in the WoW universe now?
That's right. No, I didn't see Mr. T at all.
Do you even have a song about Warcraft, sorta?
No. They were, after they hired me for that, they were like, "You have a Warcraft song, right?" I'm like, "No." Do you play Warcraft? No.
You're thinking of the Guild.
slightly crestfallen. Guild was there. The whole Guild was there.
Oh, okay.
We had a booth.
Huge stars.
Everybody was super nice. I loved doing the BlizzCon show. It was just a little bit challenging to send the music out into a vast sea of indifference and impatience. I much prefer having, you know, 100 kids in a small rock club who are all there to see me on purpose and know the words and stuff. That's the best.
Yeah. Was the show we went to like a pretty good turnout one, like
Flamingo?
Yeah, that was. I think we had more than 100 in that room, and that's like anytime you get over about 50, 60 people in the room, and they're all really there to see the show, it's going to be a good show. It's like they'll be there reflecting the energy back and making everything fun.
So we should talk about the new album. Does it? Oh, I guess it hasn't come out yet. Sort of.
Not. Yeah, I am doing this sort of. I don't know what you would call it. It's, since I don't have a record label or anything, I can just sort of goof off and do things however the hell I want. Although technically you're still supposed to release albums on Tuesdays. I don't know if you know this.
Oh, right, yeah.
All albums come out on Tuesdays.
You are totally pulling my leg.
It's a Freemason thing. It's
albums and movies.
What?
Always.
What? That makes no sense.
Everything released to CD and DVD happens on Tuesday, always.
Really?
Yeah. I think to be delivered, it's probably like because of the mail service and record shops back in the day.
Definitely has to do with old physical distribution channels, but
and it makes sense.
They still do it because now it's also keyed into publication schedules for long lead press and like magazine reviews, and I don't know. I think they just want only 4 times a month to have a list of things that just came out.
That's true.
Which kind of makes sense.
So you can buy it. You can buy it right now and download it, right?
Yes, you can pre-order, which is like a meaningless phrase. You can order the CD, and it will come to you on April 6th when it technically comes out. But then you can download it right now. And the fancy thing about that is, this time I succeeded in grabbing the 24-bit like raw output from the mastering session, mm-hmm. and then cobbling that back together, like in the same timing as the CD. So it's if you download the 24-bit FLAC off of my website, it's actually considerably higher quality than the CD version.
And I would have to be an oscilloscope to recognize that, though.
Or just have like an expensive stereo and like a huge sense of self-satisfaction over your audiophile trickery.
I hate FLAC so much. Just because people are so into it.
Spoken like a true nerd.
Yeah, like other nerds are too nerdy for me. So Andy told me the secret of the secret track. I'm so happy.
I heard about that on Twitter.
I think Andy
Yeah,
Bale.
People were kind of leaking hints on Twitter. But I haven't seen anyone do a step by step yet, so it's still.
I haven't either.
You still gotta like kind of have some skills ors in order to crack it open.
We won't tell this.
Yeah, otherwise it'd be pretty joy killing. I think is the key phrase for. Sorry.
So MC Frontalot, how did you find Metafilter 8 years ago?
How did I find it? Gosh, so so long ago. Who knows? I think it was just the kind of thing that people had on the like links off the sides of their web pages. People didn't really have blogs way back then, so I'm not going to say it was on blog rolls, but whatever space a blog roll now occupies, whatever that space was called 8 years ago, you would always see it. It was known amongst people who spent too much time on internet.
Yeah. You used to be a web designer, I take it?
Yes. I used to do some job. Yeah, I mean, I didn't tend to do it during the day, but...
But you did that for money, and now you're a full-time rapper. Is that the case?
That is my wondrous living of the American dream right there.
So great. So great.
Yeah, how
no
much...
longer have clients.
How much of a day job is it? I mean, it is now as you've gotten like an album and a tour, but
I certainly spend way more time and energy on my MC Frontalot empire than I ever did on my clients' web pages.
So are you always writing?
If I could somehow bill myself for everything I do on MC Frontalot, I would be.
You need to be Frontalot LLC at this point, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I should do something like that. I'm probably exposing myself to various liabilities by accidentally earning money being a rapper.
I want to ask you a quick question that was just prompted by something you said just now, and which first occurred to me when we were doing the radio show back in Austin during South By, which is that you use internet without a definite article in front. You don't say the internet. You seem to say internet pretty consistently. Does that map to...
I just say internet. That's right.
That an intentional choice, or does that map to any sort of habits?
That is exactly what it appears to be, an affectation.
Okay.
Very intentionally adopted, and sometimes I try and make it communicable. I think I've got... I approach various internet luminaries, try to get them to talk that way, thinking eventually it will catch on. I think I've got Randall Monroe talking like that. I know I've got Jeff Rowland on it.
He seems like he would be susceptible.
And now all of you guys.
I don't know if I can get on board. I like the idea.
I want to hear the logic. Shut up, Josh.
Okay.
Well, the logic is like... you remember people started saying internets after the 2004 presidential debate, and that was like a slip of George Bush's tongue in the debate, and then everyone was like, ha ha, I'm going to say internets instead of the internet, and it'll sort of sound as if I don't know what I'm talking about, but secretly I'm signifying that I know what I'm talking about more than you do. Right? So that's sort of the idea, and all of the morphs of it are the same idea, like Intar wubs and like all of that nonsense, right? but each of those gets tedious very quickly, and so you're always trying to find the next thing to say. And I think we who are truly in the know should settle on internet with no definite article, because then you really sound like, you know, you're John McCain or someone who doesn't know what it's called. But secretly, you really do know what it's called. And plus, why does something that's everywhere need a definite article? Like,
well, see,
that's ridiculous. It's not like some dude named, it's not like the King of Siam or something. It's just internet. You've got internet all over the place. I think you should still use the plural when you're talking about an amount of internet. Like, how much internets do you have on your phone?
So it's not a mass noun.
How many internets?
It remains a count.
Sure, but then that's, I don't know. I avoid anything that's the more properly you speak, the less wool you're successfully pulling over the eyes of those who. Anyway,
it jumped out at me because
it
strikes me it could be misinterpreted by a couple people as sort of an intentional choice for other reasons. One being the way that like in the UK, for example, instead of going to the hospital, you go to hospital. People might think
you go to university, you go to hospital. It's kind of like that.
So they might think you're a military brat whose dad spent some time, you know, in Wales or something. You know, so you have that danger. But also, I wonder if people would assume that you're trying to sort of nationalize the internet. Like you don't say I'm going to the Spain. I'm going to Spain. I'm going to internet. You know, I wonder if, you know, if that's
going to. Exactly. I'm going to internet. Why don't you just look at internet for that?
Well, and I'm going to internet.
We're
is sort
in
of
Spain
delightful
anyway.
Because it makes it seem like a gerund form of a verb, interneting. I'm going to internet. I have interneted. I will be interneted.
I've interneted before.
I have interneted.
I will have been interneting.
There you go.
Exactly.
I internet regularly.
Man, I can't wrap my head around how weird it sounds when British people say I go to university or hospital.
They say maths too, right. Though, so there's no accounting for what British people say.
Clearly, they need to learn.
If you want to start talking like that, get in on the ground floor. That's my advice.
I'll think about it. I think I might actually just have to be your usage rival on this rather than on tour. But that'll help stoke
him,
the controversy.
Ask him how he pronounces the name of the website.
How do you pronounce the name of our website?
No, you.
The short
version.
No.
Oh,
we
me?
We need to poll others.
Well, we can poll Frontal Out first, and then, Josh, you can reveal how contrary you are.
Oh, that's true.
But you don't say Metafilter?
No, the short form, M-E-F-I.
M-E-F-I.
Oh, I say Meffy.
What?
Liar! Wow.
Messy. Meth or meta, and then fee, which is wrong.
Is that,
oh
is that Josh's version?
No,
Josh,
I said,
is that
match? I say mefi.
Oh, you know, my
meth-fi?
Friends in town here
so we are,
say
we are brothers in the soft first syllable, and so I high-five you over the internet. I high-five you over internet.
This is a current controversy on the site, including university research.
Not like a real controversy, but a nerds arguing about nerdly things controversy.
Yes. A nerd-troversy.
Exactly.
Dude, that's the name of your next album.
Nerd-troversy. Yeah.
Nerd-troversy. Because you could say nerd travesty. Nerd, yeah.
Nerd-troversy.
What was that?
Is that your mom?
I'm in this sort of dreamlike, giant, empty, white room. It looks like an art gallery with no art in it, and somebody just stuck their head in and said, spring break. I'm not sure why that happened.
You should totally take a picture.
I would, but my picture-taking device is glued to my ear for voice communications.
Oh, true.
First world problem.
Yeah. We should come up with suggested subjects for your next bunch of songs. I'm sure people do this to you all the time.
I take requests. I put them all in a flat file and just pull them out when it's time to write a bunch of songs.
So here's my idea. Listen to your entire like 50-60 songs. You've tackled the war, politics, homophobia. I was like, you know what nerd problem needs to be highlighted? Male answer syndrome.
Oh God.
Like
he is so right.
A song about male answer syndrome would be great because it would skewer men.
What's male answer syndrome? I've never even heard of this.
Oh, man.
Oh!
Where do we start?
Ask Metafilter, no matter what the question is and no matter who it's geared towards and no matter who the questioner asks to respond, you always get like the same three or four guys especially, but in general, just dudes being like, well, I'm not really sure, but I think it's this thing that like they're trying to be helpful. They mean well. They're not just these kind of jerks, but they really feel the need to say what they care about in every single thread. It can be a thread about like pubic hair grooming, and dudes are like, well, what I really like on a girl, and you're like, what? Who cares? Nobody asked you.
I think I saw a dude answering in a bra thread, like, what bra should I run in? It was like, well, you know, I mean, if you Google male answer syndrome, I think it was like the word of the year, like 3 or 4 years ago or something. But like,
it's actually three words.
Yeah. It's just that, you know, the tendency of a guy to always answer whether he's right or not versus, you know, how women like, and it, drives us
and
crazy.
We have to
which is not a categorical statement about men in general. It's just a statement about the correlation between maleness and the habit of doing that.
Wow, I just stepped on a nail, and I sort of did it almost on purpose.
Are you
super embarrassing.
Are you bleeding?
Are you okay? Do you need a tetanus shot?
Yes. Wow, I'm bleeding.
Wow.
When's the last time I don't think I've had a tetanus booster since Burning Man 98.
Oh, God.
That's looks like a fairly clean nail.
Is this how you end all your interviews?
That was just really stupid of me. Aww. I was like sort of bending them, these exposed nails down with my shoe, and then get a good angle on one of them.
Oh, God.
That's one of those things that while you're doing which it, you sort of think it's okay. Then it goes wrong, and you're like, oh, well, yeah, I was just doing that, wasn't I? I was just...
I just totally did that thing.
That was me.
I would question the quality of your footwear.
Are you going to be okay?
Yeah, this Adidas is garbage, and now it's going to be leaky, too.
You can probably fill that with shoe goo, though.
Jeffrey Rowan's filming me. Hi, Joanna. that's his little, that's his dead cat. In the comic strip, it's named Joanna.
Oh, right.
Yes. I think it's sort of a zombie cat. It gets into
Pudgy. Yeah, she's in a strange sort of state of undeath.
So how can we wrap this up? Besides a nail through the foot.
My question is, what do you think is the most misunderstood aspect of your, like, if there's a great thread in Ask Metafilter right now, which is people talking about things that people think are true that aren't really true, that, you know, misunderstandings about the way the world works. What do you think is the biggest misunderstanding of your life as a rapper, the work you do or whatever, that people think this about me, but really it's more like that?
Well, I guess the main thing is that, of course, when people hear about nerdcore or get a very small exposure to it, they think that it's novelty music. And I've kind of structured the whole thing to invite that error, thinking that in the world of diminished expectations, I can only hope to overimpress. But I'm sure a lot of people just skip it because they think it's going to be some... It's going to stop at the comedy aspect and have nothing further to offer. And I hopefully all of it is not just that and bears some kind of repeated listenings. So I guess that would be my little cross to bear right there.
I go watch the Wallflower video whenever I'm having a bummered out day and watch everybody dance all over the place, and it cheers me up.
Oh, I'm glad.
Well, I think that conflict too is something that anybody who's like both tried to do funny music and tried to take themselves seriously as a musician has had to sort of struggle with where you want to do music and you want people to like it, and your tendency is to do something that's kind of funny, but you also don't want to be just dismissed as, that's that person who does that funny song about the wiener or whatever, you know, sort of like the Weird Al Yankovic thing where, yeah, I mean, he's a guy who actually managed to be extremely successful as a novelty musician, but at the same time, he's one of those guys that tons of people just don't take seriously at all as a musician because he does, that funny bullshit.
Even though his drummer is like a serious, very serious drummer at the same time.
He's got huge sessions.
Oh, all of his musicality is top notch.
Right.
And I think just through sheer staying power, he's managed to earn the respect of certainly the rest of the music world. I don't know what the listeners think of Weird Al. I mean, surely they love him.
I think Jonathan Colton has the same sort of issues. Like, you know, sometimes, like, new listeners, I've been in an audience, you know, the new people are laughing their asses off and the old people are, like, singing along with it. And there's this definite, like, you got to get over the hump of novelty to, like, actual good music, and so that the repeat listens can happen. That definitely works with your stuff. But like I was going through, you know, MC Chris, all the other dudes,
MC Chris does Nerd Girls. Is that?
Yeah. And he does, Fats Vet is his famous one. But like, you know, some of them are just like kind of silly, and I don't know about repeat listens, but, I think it's the musicality of it all. Was a Colton on one of your songs? I thought I heard someone say...
Yeah, on the previous record, he did Diseases of Yore with me, which is...
Oh, right. And I saw Hodgman was on the new album.
Mike Doty's on it, right?
I was super excited to get him on there.
Are you in the same Brooklyn neighborhoods where they live?
We're pretty close. They're on the other side of Prospect Park from me.
Ah.
But yeah, I just threw the project studio into a couple of duffel bags and went over to Hodgman's office, and he and Colton and I had some lunch, and we just sort of just banged it out. Didn't have a script or anything.
Nice.
Yeah, awesome. I wondered when I heard it, like, does he just turn it on? Like, just point a mic at him.
You can make anything seem really pithy with when you're editing 40 minutes of jabber down to 2 minutes.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
We usually edit 40 minutes of jabber down to 25 minutes of jabber.
That helps, too. Any amount of removing jabber will help.
Well, I think that's about it. Good luck.
We'll let
you
go tend to your injury.
Yeah.
Yeah, I probably should. It's really like blood pouring out of it. I'm ruining this nice big floor.
Oh, God. Seriously, take pictures.
If you choose to die from this injury, let us know ahead of time so we can charge for listening to this.
And if you need us to raise money for a health insurance tetanus shot, we can do that.
Yeah.
Oh, right on.
All right. thanks for joining us.
All sure. Right.
So long.
I'll see you later.
Adios.
Bye.
See you on internet.
Yes.
Talk about Austin?
Yeah, we could talk a little bit about Metafilter, but I think talking about Austin would be pretty good. Do you want to explain what we were actually doing there?
We went to South by Southwest. Half of us had to speak at South by Southwest, and I figured, hey, what the hell? The other half should go too. What did we do? We rented a house. We stayed there for a few days.
Matt drove us around. We ate a lot of food, took a lot of pictures.
I had a terrible talk. Jessamyn had a good talk.
Great. It was a great talk.
Enjoy. You had a great talk, yeah.
And I think yours probably wasn't terrible.
Yeah, it's all right.
Here's my talk in case people want to see my notes.
Oh, cool, yeah. It was really good.
These guys went to my talk is the thing Matt's not saying, that Matt and PB and Josh all sat at my talk, which is about the nicest thing ever.
It was fun. It was a really good talk.
Of course. I wanted to hear it. Jeez.
But it was really nice. I mean, you know, I'm like the kid whose parents didn't go to my soccer games, you know? So,
true.
Raised by wolves.
That's my permanent scar is my parents have never attended my graduations of stuff.
You know, mine didn't go to my grad school graduation.
They didn't go to my high school graduation because they thought it was too much. There would be too much traffic and they were tired.
Oh, did they go to your brother's?
I think they did because he was
older.
The first kid gets everything. The second kid gets ignored. But yeah. Oh, so stupid.
I appear to be chatting with Skype test call and not chatting with you guys. Hold on.
What up, test call?
And it keeps repeating your shit back to you. It's horrible.
Bouncing back at you.
All right.
It's like example.com.
Skype test call.
You guys are in my talk,
that's
right?
The window. As much as you tried to talk us out of going to it.
It was kind of a large room. It was hard to even tell who was in it, but yeah.
I did not go to your talk. I think that was the day I stayed home and worked on my talk like a nervous person.
Yeah, it was me and PB were at yours.
Oh, okay.
Along with Anil and David,
I think. Yay, Lovelace Day, and someone made a post. I was hoping someone would make a post.
Cool. Anil made a good post about Ada Lovelace Day, too, which I thought was really good.
Today?
On his own blog. Yeah. Talking about, how people need to... step up the pace and get women and other non-represented people around doing tech stuff.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Sweet. What else?
And
we
also saw MC Frontalot, and we also talked with MC Frontalot on a radio show that Metafilter user Slappy Pinchbottom invited us to, which was terrific.
Yeah.
On K-O-O-O, is that how many?
K-O-O-P.
Which is funny because he's got one of those chin beards.
He does.
Just like C. Everett Koop.
Yes.
Got it. I was wondering how that would relate.
Sorry. It makes perfect sense in my own mind.
I was like chicken coop and chin strap beard of a ocean faring man. I don't understand.
Farmer Bob.
Okay. Coop.
There's also a guy with a chin beard in the classic comic strip Mary Worth.
Okay, now that's fucking left field.
No, but it's not totally, because I'm pretty sure I walked past Josh Frulinger at one point when we were walking along, the guy who does the comics curmudgeon, which frequently comes back to discussions of Mary Worth, because Mary Worth is the best thing in the world to make fun
Matt,
of.
Matt, can I get a ruling? I think this is totally off topic.
Yeah, I think we're in the weeds.
Okay, well, whatever. The point is that I totally didn't tell you guys to hold on while I turned around and shouted at receiving Josh Frulinger, who looked pretty tired at that point anyway.
You know, Cortex has a podcast, but it's 23 hours long.
Mostly explaining things.
I call it the footnote. It just sort of keeps recursing back on itself.
That would be awesome.
It would be awesome.
I would listen.
Just like every episode was an annotation of the previous episode of Annotations. Oh, that'd be pretty sweet. I'm putting that
I'm
on
Thanksgiving.
I'm kind
of loving it already.
That's a blog post right there.
Maybe it's one of those bad ideas for your new
yes.
bad idea blog.
Oh, yeah, we should talk, Josh, 30 seconds about your new bad idea blog.
This was the idea that I had at South by Southwest, and I started it once I got back. It's a blog of all the ideas that I have that I never get around to pursuing, because I have lots of bad ideas that I would die if I tried to pursue all of them, and it's called Think Stank. And it's just thinkstank.tumblr.com. And it's fun. I'm enjoying it. I've actually found myself doing a couple of the little things that started out as stupid ideas for the blog, too. So it's kind of nice. It's got me being a little bit more creative in the pursuit of not being too creative, I guess.
Ooh, I'm enjoying
like
it.
I've
been enjoying it.
Pound sign tags.
Yeah, the theme that I'm using for Tumblr, I only found this out after I'd actually picked the theme out, is by Metafilter's own Rory Marinich. So,
hey!
Yeah.
Sweet.
I like Rory Marinich. He's one of the like users I've noticed over the last, I don't know, 6 months or something, where I'm like, hey, that's a new user, and they're not all blah, 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 blah.
Yep, enthusiastic users.
Yeah.
They're good.
Contributing useful users.
This
yeah.
is like the halfbakery.com for idiots. It's good.
Kind of, yeah. I mean, and I've known about Half Bakery for a long time. I never really spent any time there, but I always liked the idea. But yeah. It occurred to me I could either try and participate there or do my own thing. And I think I'd rather just not have to try very hard on my ideas and just do them here. So
you would have to try too hard to get them on Half Bakery?
I don't know if I'd have tried high hard to put them there, but I'd feel like I needed to try hard if I was doing it in sort of a more public place like that rather than just this dedicated, this is absolutely just me being me sort of thing.
Half
like
bakery.
Here, I am the master of my own domain this way, I guess, basically. So my domain can be as stupid as I want it to be.
How's Look at This Cat coming?
Shit, I need to, you know, I need to check in on that, because the domain's still in that weird, it's after the grace period, but joker.com is still holding on to it for me, and because they're being so nice, they'll give it back to me for $125 or something. And I don't think it's worth $125, so it might turn into lookatthiscat.com or something like that if I can't just snake it back after it properly expires. We'll see.
How about thesecats.com?
Yeah. I should really rebuild the damn site, because I haven't updated it in like a year is part of why I didn't notice that it lapsed is... It's having people email me the photos and then hand processing every one was a bad
Horrible.
Idea. So Horrible. I need to redo it with a proper hey, yeah. upload your photo to a queue thing, and then it could be properly relaunched.
To an approval queue.
Yeah, exactly. I need some widget to do the putting the file on the server and into the database work for me instead of doing all that shit by hand.
Yep.
I wish you luck.
Yep.
That's what I suggested on day one.
Yeah, no, it was a good idea on day one, but I was too busy enjoying trying to write a really minimalist Perl implementation of a blog. So,
wow, this is episode 50 of the podcast.
Oh shit!
Oh, good gracious!
With a like 30-minute cold open. welcome to episode 50. 50. It's been since like mid-February. Jesus, it's been a while.
I've been almost not home that whole time, so this is great.
I actually do have a whole bunch of favorites since then. Wow. We can talk.
We are talking.
Yeah, we haven't done this in a few weeks, so.
Yeah, a month. I guess, what else? I haven't looked at projects or music or jobs, but I have plenty on Ask Metafilter and Metafilter. Has there been, there's been some awesome projects. I'm trying to find. Mutant's new project is pretty cool.
Oh, yeah.
What
is it? The funding thing.
Public, was it local counselors? how much they get paid is supposed to be available to the public, and it's never been easy to get the data, so he put it
online. Oh, sweet.
I don't know what a local councilor, what would that be, like, not a mayor? Would that be like a city council person in America? I don't know how high up that is in the echelon.
Or like Board of Selectmen or something, depending on the town. They have different sort of slicing up of government.
Yeah, so there's a lot of sites that, you know, chop up nonprofits, you know, how much the board makes and stuff. So he just did this, how much they cost per year by parties, by locations. So, yeah. It's kind of
That's
cool.
pretty awesome.
Yeah.
I liked, this is the one that we heard about from Milktoast, who was at the Austin meetup. He's was in town because he's a filmmaker, and they premiered this David Byrne concert film at South by Southwest.
Yeah.
And he built the website himself, and it's awesome.
Yeah. That's...
If you like David Byrne, it's especially awesome, but it's pretty awesome even if you don't really like David
I was
Byrne.
Kind of, you know, the things that show up in projects are usually on the minor side of project, like here's my new blog, and when I saw that,
right.
like here's my new David Byrne concert film, his first and you know first time David Byrne's been in a film in like 25 years, like what? Like that was pretty awesome.
Yep.
But I guess he just did the site. It looks like it's a Hillman Curtis film, which is like awesome designer.
Yeah, and he worked on the movie, though I don't remember exactly what the specifics are. I talked to him a lot at the meetup, and of course it's all kind of blah 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 Shiner Buck. Oh,
wow.
And then there was another
filmed.
Project I liked, which I totally forgot about, which is this great cookie recipes that there was a Meta Talk thread about this gourmet magazine's favorite cookies sort of sub-site that was on gourmet.com, which wasn't there anymore because Gourmet folded and someone was like, this is horrible. Grouse was like, this is horrible. How can we do it? And somebody went through, well, a couple people went through together and drug up the recipes that they could find. And then Confess Fletch put it together in this sort of terrific little thing.
Huh, it won't load in Google Docs, but...
Huh, it's basically like a giant PDF of cookie recipes.
Wow, sweet.
It's the sort of thing you print out and just, like, you know, stick inside the cupboard in your kitchen with some tape. And
this is a questionable copyright, you know, basically cookie book in PDF form.
Well, I mean, what do you do, right? This is like this is the typical, like, abandonware. Like,
yeah,
it belonged
totally.
To a company whose IP is kind of up in the air that they had made public, so you would have been available. I mean, it would have been available to you still if the company didn't fold.
There's
now
also
what?
Weird copyright on recipes, right? Like, it's considered data and not copyrightable, but the writing about it is considered copyright. I mean, it's...
Yeah,
it's...
recipes fall into a really interesting gray area as far as intellectual property goes.
So I feel okay with this.
Good, because you approved it.
I had like three things from projects that were all music that I liked since we left it. One of which is this piece of software I haven't played with yet, and I really need to get around to it, but it's called Noteworks, and it's basically a kind of a procedural music generation program. So you can create sort of a visual musical algorithm by connecting nodes that do various things to each other and then hit play and it'll just sort of go. So you can do sort of generative music with it and build stuff that's fairly abstract or stuff that's fairly concrete if you really want to be pedantic about how you're putting it together. But it looks really neat. And it's like Java. So, you know, you can just play with it wherever. It's not some platform specific
thing. So anyone
thing.
Can mess with it.
Yeah. So that was really cool. There was also a... music compilation that Sleepy Pete put out for the Circle into Square project he's been working on. It's a bunch of nice music, just, you know, it's basically a mixtape, and it's all really good stuff. And it's weird. Like,
I was going to have dinner with them on Thursday.
Yeah, I know. You really shouldn't have let God destroy your airplane like that. That was that was a bad move on your part. I don't know
this what you're thinking. This is what I get for all of my chest-beating atheism.
Exactly. There's consequences. And the other thing was this DIY stro, or I'm not sure how they want to say it, but basically Brack Sandwich put together this project that's basically for independent bands doing music distribution themselves, which is one of those things that's more and more kind of a thing people have to figure out how to do because they don't want to try and bullshit around trying to get into a major label distribution thing that's never going to happen for most people. So I thought it was
sweet.
Interesting thing they're doing.
What was the name of the project Antonio was working
on? Oh, it was one of the ones with band in the name, I think.
Yeah, there's like...
Bandcamp? Like,
band site? There's like 10 companies doing this.
Yeah, I feel so bad that I can't remember which one's his, but I mean, I could literally see at least two standing on the South by Southwest floor at his booth talking to him. So
yeah.
Yeah, we went and saw Armored Ant at the floor. I don't even know how to spell his username. Is there a U in it?
Armored Ant with a space, maybe?
Is there a hyphen? Yes. There it is. It's Armored with a U, Ant, and... now I have to click on his own website. He's actually a very nice gentleman with a very neat little tool.
Yeah.
That his buddy showed to us, and they were right by the free beer stand.
Yeah. there were lots of free beer stands. That's what was nice about South by Southwest.
I don't think I had any of the free beer at the actual convention. I mean, I had
beer
at Brad's thing, but yeah, I was rarely simultaneously hungry for some free beer and at the actual con, so I don't know. Failure on my part, I guess, to leverage the situation. But
did you not get enough beer though?
No, I got plenty of beer. I got beer when I don't, you know, drink at, you know, 11 in the morning at conventions very often, I guess. It's not a habit I've built up.
If the beer were free, maybe, and you could find it, you would.
Maybe. I don't know. Clearly that I should have put that on a feedback card, you know, make beer more visible.
Why don't we move to favoritist Metafilter posts of the
Metafilter or Ask Metafilter?
Metafilter, we always do first.
All right.
I'll go first with the twofer. everyone's seen this by now, but the chat roulette is, you know, quickly. Oops, wrong post.
Should I not click that?
No, that's the actual link. You know, chat roulette has gone from like wacky idea a month ago to cultural revolution, you know, in the last few weeks. I think because it's such an awesomely simple idea. It's like, it boggles my, I mean, I'm stoked that it's possible to, like, for anyone, a 17-year-old Russian kid could just come up with an idea that just completely
takes,
you know,
the world by storm because of availability of cock on the internet.
But, like, you know, an idea so simple, and you just turn something a little bit on its head, and that, like, it's something completely new. You think every idea has been done before. So, anywho, there's a zillion chat roulette, you know, things, mostly involving cock, unfortunately. But the chat roulette improv is, like, probably one of my favoritest things ever, where a guy with a piano just... instead of two dorks chatting or one dork and some guy's penis chatting, a guy in a piano is just improvising, and it's very funny and it's touching and it's like, it's just weird and it's magical and it's great.
And did it start on Comedy Central? Like, I may have seen this out of order because I saw it oblivious to these Metafilter threads. So there was the dude, Merton.
Yeah.
And
no,
he just did it.
Yeah. On YouTube. It was like him and friends thought, hey, why don't we try this?
Okay, so it didn't start at, like, the whatever, College Humor or whatever.
Because
where I first saw it. All right.
No, and I mean, if you search around YouTube, people have been trying to do improv. Like, there's some really bad comedians trying to, like, hey, how's it going? Where are you from? Hey. Like, trying to do, like, some sort of...
Right.
And you're like, wow, that person thinks they're doing well, and it's not very good. Merton sits there and plays some piano tunes. It's very, very funny. He makes up songs on the fly. People apparently thought he was Ben Folds. I'm a Ben Folds fan. I could tell.
He was, like, clearly not Ben Folds.
But to, like, non-fans, my wife thought he was Ben Folds. Like, he looks...
He's Ben's Foldish, and he's a guy, you know, who plays the piano. And he was wearing a hoodie, so you couldn't really see him that well either.
Yeah.
And
but
glasses.
I was like, that's
right.
Clearly not his voice. But so... Merton had to update the profile to be like, no, I am not Ben Folds, like a million point font. So eventually Ben Folds, I guess, got wind of it because people probably confused, thought it was him. And then he did it. I guess he's doing it on stage during a tour now. And it's actually, I think, not as good of improv, but it's very, very funny. But it doesn't have the same tone as the original, but it's very still funny and amazing.
And the songs are, like, yeah, richer, maybe, if you want to argue that. But yeah, I sort of saw these out of order and didn't understand what was going on. My boyfriend's son showed me the piano guy, and I was like, what? What is this? This is hilarious. Because normally he's showing me, you know, guys that get wiffle bats to the crotch or something. So it was something we could both enjoy.
Yeah,
and then I saw the Ben Folds stuff.
I showed it to Kay, and she was like, I don't get it. And I had to explain chat roulette and how it's mostly cock, you know.
I now have a draft of a thank you for showing me your cock song, and I still haven't decided whether or not I really want to go through with cock to paste together a video of it.
Do it. It'll take like an hour tops. There's so much cock. We did it on the plane. So we had Wi-Fi on the plane Austin.
That's right.
So I started chat roulette as a joke, and it was like, I guess it took 10 times. In the past, it's only taken 3 or 4. It was like a giant cock on camera, just like it took. I think it was like next cock. And then I was like, shut the lid, like, oh god, on a plane.
I'm that guy on the plane.
So embarrassing on a plane. But yeah, chat roulette's crazy.
So that was your twofer. I also liked, and this was incredibly popular, so I don't think it's going to be like any real surprise, but the hipsters on food stamps thread wound up with some pretty interesting discussion about food stamps, because I think there's a lot of people for whom food stamps are a total abstraction, and then there's the people on Metafilter who are on or have been on food stamps for whom they have a totally different sort of perspective. And we got at least one, actually a few, you know, hey, I'm on food stamps and this is actually what it's like, and you know, maybe you don't understand what hipsters are, or maybe you don't understand the food stamp program. And I didn't have a lot of comments, but lots and lots and lots of people had interesting things to say. It was a nice sharing thread, I thought.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Let me copy this. I love, this is amazing, only 15 favorites, so this deserves a wider audience. My father's garden, it's just like, I guess a guy with a macro lens just filming bugs in the backyard, but like in glorious HD on
Wow.
Video. It's absolutely breathtaking. If you've ever seen the movie Microcosmos, it's one of my favorites.
I have. Microcosmos was amazing.
Yeah, this is like reminiscent of that, using basically, you know, a $2,000 camera in a backyard. Just beautiful, crisp, insane images. It's just super awesome. Super enjoyable. I don't think this, yeah, I don't even know if this is like a super expensive camera he used. It's just crazy, like super close-ups of dragonflies and stuff.
I also enjoyed this. I forgot about it, especially because I really love the title. But it's kind of a short, you know, not, like super interesting, like whatever. It's NPR, like, ho, 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 the way the world used to be. Who knew? But like lots of people in the thread, again, talk about funny other or interesting other jobs and whether or not people still have milkmen, which I personally enjoyed because I had a milkman when I was a kid. And there's still milkmen in town around here. But to a lot of people, those are like bygone, totally bygone jobs.
Can I ask you, as a kid, were old school milk bottles still – the fairly large ones with the fairly large circumference necks and the sort of curved top? When I was a kid, I got a book of like – DIY science you can do at home. You know, do these experiments. And one of the experiments was suck an egg, a hard-boiled egg, into a milk bottle by, you know, starting a small fire inside the bottle. You know, light a piece of paper on fire and put the. But, you know, we had fucking plastic gallon jugs of milk. And so I tried this, and that shit did not work.
Oh, God. Oh,
and,
God.
And, you know, the book didn't bother to explain because, hey, it's a milk bottle. Everybody knows what a milk bottle looks like. So it just is a milk bottle.
Yeah, we had glass wide bottom milk bottles when I was a kid. And around here, you can still get them some places, but plastic is definitely. But they call them jugs, not bottles, maybe.
Hey, I see the milkman every morning, drives through my neighborhood. I think there's a local dairy that does.
Well, somebody
milk.
Mentioned that, like, you know, yuppies and hipsters nowadays, I guess if you're not on food stamps, like, it's a localvore thing. Like, you get the local dairy to deliver your milk, and it's just there all the time.
There was a great post. What was the, like, sidebarred post out of the yesteryear thread?
That was probably it.
No, but what was it? It was like, was it a person who makes records or something? Or I can't remember what it was. What was it? Was it like a filmmaker or something?
Are you talking about the person who talks to You know, I'm not totally sure what you're talking about.
You I thought you sidebarred something about the
I did. Let me take a look.
I'm looking at the sidebar.
Film. Somebody who worked in film editing, I believe, with like reel to reel.
Oh yeah,
film stuff.
Like tape. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the comment. It was amazing. Sonoscope. And it's a really interesting comment. And there were a couple people like that who were like, I trained to work in an obsolete industry. Yeah, I mean, my boyfriend has like a communications degree and they learned to edit film. And like, it was like the last year that people graduated learning to edit film instead of doing all that stuff digitally. He felt like by the time he graduated, his degree was just barely becoming obsolete.
I had like a design class in the 90s where it was like, we're going to do paste up with paste and paper. And I thought, this is ridiculous. Like I could tell in like 1995, this is the dumbest thing in the world. I was amazed at the story of the lector on the NPR site. I'd never heard of that in my life. That was great. Did you see it? The cigar makers working in a factory, they pay a guy to read the newspaper to them.
No, I didn't see that.
It's like the first photo. It's the most outrageous obsolete job in their list of jobs. You've heard of every other job, like elevator operator, but lector, I'd never heard of in my life. It's basically talk radio while you work in a factory before radios, you know, existed.
Yeah.
So wait, it's someone who talks?
A guy on a stage with a giant, you know, amplification cone, basically reading the newspaper to everyone in the factory while you work. So it's like, you know, talk radio.
Wow, you can actually hear stuff in a factory?
I guess like when you're rolling cigars, it's not too loud.
Fascinating. That's cool.
Work. Yeah.
Cool job.
And then the radio came out.
Kind of like the town crier or whatever.
Yeah.
I liked this post about, it's kind of a post about a game called Starfeld, but sort of talking about games and linearity as well in general. But Starfeld is a fantastic, terrible game, and that's the sort of thing that predictably pleases me. And it's really great if you've played sort of more epic space RPGs, like the Mass Effect games are the current sort of classic on that front, but it's pretty great in general if you just want to play a stupid crappy game and sort of enjoy the finely crafted stupidity and crappiness of it. But the thread was also kind of interesting for some of the conversation that came out of it and discussing
link please.
I already linked it. It's the rare and delicious breed, your puppy.
Oh
you guys just kept talking, so
we were talking about the other post.
Yeah, I know.
Okay,
I was queuing it up. Anyway, it's pretty great, and if you have 10 minutes and some kind of dislike for yourself, I strongly recommend going and trying to give it a playthrough.
Sweet. I like this Dean's Garage post. Dean's Garage is some site about automotive design, and there's just this awesome 1938 General Motors styling guide that was posted. It's just gorgeous, like Art Deco. Illustrations from this how cars would be designed in the future, kind of. it's totally awesome. Cars are reminiscent of trains. Oh my god, everything's just awesome. It's just design porn.
Neat.
Should we move to Ask Metafilter?
I've got one more I want to mention.
Go ahead.
Which is another game-related post, but it's a game, but it's so much more than that. It's a game called
I love this title.
Deadly Premonition. Yeah, the title of the thread is it's like watching two clowns eat each other, which is out of one of the better reviews for the game. It's a new game that's been in production for a few years, and it's a budget title. You know, normally an Xbox game comes out these days at $60. This one retails at $20. It kind of tells you they're not really A-list as far as development goes, and it really shows because the graphics are kind of crappy and the controls are pretty dated and clunky, and there's a lot of polish missing from the game, but it's also completely fucking awesome. It's especially if you are any kind of David Lynch or Twin Peaks fan, because the people who made the game clearly are, and it's like a weird fucking deconstruction of that in sort of video game form and sort of a survival horror format for people who know those games like Resident Evil and Silent Hill and whatnot. But it's just, it's really strange, and it's really, really Twin Peaks-ish in a lot of senses, to the point where the protagonist in Twin Peaks, Agent Dale Cooper, was always talking into his tape recorder and talking to Diane, whoever Diane was. The protagonist of Deadly Premonition talks to Zach, who, as far as I can tell, is actually the player character, although the game doesn't explicitly resolve that one way or the other. So it's, he'll just start talking to you every once in a while and, you know, go into asides about the development of the DVD format in a conversation with a nurse at the local hospital for no reason. And it's pretty fantastic. I mean, it's a bad game, but it's not a terrible game, and it's got a lot of charm. And I think it's going to be one of those games that becomes sort of an instant cult classic because enough people played it and said, wow, there's some really good stuff in this terrible game, that it led to things like this Metafilter post and cascading all over the internet. And yeah, so I'm enjoying playing it. And the post is a fun read just for people sort of picking it apart and talking about how it compares to things that are both more and less successful than it. And I thought it was great.
Sweet. All right. Ask Metafilter.
Favorite recent post was the It Doesn't Work That Way post, which is about things that you know about that work differently than people actually think they work. Like figuring out that the FBI doesn't really solve crimes and they don't really prevent crimes, or how like songs get played on the radio. Lots of different people coming up with things from their own personal experience. You know, the vast majority of civil cases in the U.S. are settled or dismissed without ever reaching trial, somewhere between 80 and 97%. Like Freakonomics type stuff, but people talking about it from their own knowledge base. Very interesting.
Holy crap. I didn't see this. This is awesome.
It was very good. Very, very good.
Oh, right. Someone mentions Malcolm Gladwell, which is the – and Freakonomics guys are all turning conventions on their ears. Wow. Holy crap. School lunch is a dumping ground for corn.
Wow.
Dude, this is the rest of my day.
Ha!
My favorite post was When I Want to Grow Up, I Want to Be Adam Savage by Boncliff, just going, you know, I know a bunch of science. I know a little engineering. I really want to be an everyman with a cool garage shop that can build and do anything. I'm looking for tools and books and, like, what welding skills should I pick up and stuff. So the cool thing is there's a bunch of great advice. And then I happened to see it and dropped a line to Adam Savage, and he gave, like, a monster answer. Especially for Brundlefly, which was great.
For Boncliff.
Boncliff, sorry. Getting all my B's mixed up. But yeah, like I knew like that would be the ultimate capper if he would actually
answer. Oh, cool.
Answer.
And Fake posted. He has kind of a cool workshop, and he's been doing all that weird stuff lately.
Yeah. It was very cool.
Wall of tape is the best one, actually.
Box of razor blades. Does he have a picture of his wall of tape?
Look at this wall of tape.
Oh my god, that's awesome.
I have a wall of tape. I learned how to make one of those. Or I have a rod of tape, you know, like you have a dowel and you put all your tapes around one dowel so that you can roll and unroll them. Look at all that snow outside the window, too.
Someone should make a lathe of tape. Just put all the tape on a big cylinder and you can just take whatever you need to tape over to it and turn it on and tape it that
Ooh.
Way. That'd be...
I need a wall of tape. My tape in drawers is confusing. I can never find my Teflon tape versus my electrical tape versus
exactly.
Masking.
You need a wall. You need a. Do you have a workshop at your place?
Yeah, kind of, sort of, sure.
Well, you got kind of a bike shop in the garage.
Yeah, bike shop, but
you need a workshop.
Lots of tape is required. I've seen Adam Savage has posted photos, I think, of his home workshop, which is in a tiny like 10 by 10 foot room, but it's just packed with like 70 different tool things you can do in the smallest space imaginable. But he's got a crazy, crazy shop. Let me see. When did we record the last podcast? I wonder if this thing falls
in. We posted it February 23, so
I think
probably a few days before that.
15th or something is when we did it. It took like a week. So this counts, I think. This is sad and touching. It was on the 16th. An anonymous question saying, like, I'm in my mid-30s, have a terminal illness, only a couple years left to live, and I have a son. How do I tell my family I'm going to die? But it's like, it's just a very nice, touching thread with tons of great advice about end of life issues. And, like, you know, it's not super sad because, I mean, everyone's healthy at the moment and stuff. And it's just, like, I thought it was a great, helpful post for a really difficult situation.
I remember that post. There's a lot of really good advice on Metafilter generally about death, dying, and grieving, because it's one of those things you maybe don't talk about with your friends all the time, but most people have been through it by the time they're sort of an adult person.
Yeah.
And I also liked this one, which was slightly annoying in practice, but in reality it's kind of helpful. It's basically like kind of little punchy topics to stick into a discussion to try and get people talking. The guy who kind of asked it, I think, is looking for more almost kind of like witty whatever things, but there's lots of advice that people got sort of how to discuss things with people. You know, you're at a party, you want to like be like, hey, here's a topic we can all talk about. What are some fairly non-controversial ways you can kind of throw
John
a topic
Hodgman
around?
Hodgman is the guy who came up with invisibility of flight. I'm so sick of that question. Everywhere I've gone the last 2 or 3 years, it's invisibility or flight. It's all anyone
a
talks
lot of
about.
People talked about how that is getting tired.
Yeah, I'm sick of it. Ugh.
Are you listening, Hodgman?
Yeah.
Shape up. Get some new material.
Fist. I'm shaking my fist towards Brooklyn.
Well, and didn't it say, wasn't it say, like, everybody always chooses one or the other?
Yeah.
Like, that it's not neutral. Somebody was like, people who choose invisibility are perceived as sneaky, and people who choose flight are more mentally healthy. That seems like unfair setup.
Yeah, I can't think of an invisibility. Yeah, you would just steal stuff.
Are you kidding? You would just hang out and be able to go to stuff without people looking at you and commenting on what you were wearing. This may be like a dude guy thing, but being able to be invisible as someone who's female and who's never invisible, I would love that.
I never thought about it. All I can think of is bad uses for it. Hear what people are saying, steal money from
be
banks.
Free from harassment, get to walk around outside at night alone.
I would have used it when I was a teen. I was constantly harassed, but yeah, it doesn't happen much as a white male anymore. Privilege.
Lucky.
So yeah, if there's a better, I'll read this one because I want a new one. I can't stand flight or and like I think of like the 80s, maybe 90s, and maybe it was college, like early 90s, everyone would talk about blindness or deafness. What would you pick, like if you lost your eyes or your ears?
I was like hand or feet, like one hand or both feet.
Wait, what? How did what?
Well, it's the same idea, you know. Which one would you want to? Which one would you choose to lose? Would you lose both feet at the ankle or one of your hands?
Ears or eyes?
Yeah, that's what I was talking about. Ears or eyes is what I've always heard, and which is everyone says I'd rather keep my eyesight, except for your one like music nerd friend who's like, oh, I can't live without music, and then everyone goes, what? How are you gonna get?
Well, it's kind
how
of
are you gonna get around?
It's a pretty brutal toss up, you know.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Actually, I forgot another Metafilter post I was going to mention. I don't have any Ask Me posts, so we'll pretend it's a Ask Me post. But it's also my post, but it's I'm not like check out
worst.
My awesome post. I just thought this was interesting.
Did you check the checkbox? You're not supposed to.
No. It's not a post on my thing.
I'm just kidding.
It's just a post about buildingreputation.com is a blog by a couple guys who just put out a book, I guess, or are in the process of putting it out right now.
Oh, wow.
But this was Andy Bio actually mentioned this at his talk at South By, among other things. But it's got a really nice overview. One of the blog posts is a really nice overview of just sort of reputation systems in general and some of the basic ideas involved in designing one well or designing one poorly and how you want to use it and what you want to use it for. And I thought it was really interesting and just made a post about it yesterday. But
yeah, I saw that and I realized, holy
your
shit.
Your post from yesterday is your favorite post?
No, it's just a post I liked. I liked the link. I'm totally abusing admin power to say, hey, this is a neat link that people should read.
No, this is awesome, especially for a community talk. This is like amazing, like the motivations and what people do. Like, I mean, we have hours of this to talk about with like favorites design, you know. I mean, they're talking about every little aspect of how you surface information.
Exactly.
Fascinating. It's for sale. Sweet.
Yeah, I think the book's out now. I don't think it was out yet when we were at South by Southwest, but I wasn't sure of the timing.
Holy shit, I might actually read a book by O'Reilly.
You can probably get it on your Kindle if that's a little too freaky.
I don't want a tech book on my Kindle, but it's probably not techy. Huh.
I'd like to read it when you're done with it, or I'll get it from the library.
Anyway, back to Aspen.
What?
Let's just pretend someone said, hey, is there a good book about reputation design? And that was a great
Has
answer.
Has anyone
there.
Made a post about good books about...
No, that was it. I saw those two, and those were my favorite. I wasn't prepared to talk about a whole bunch of Ask Me stuff, though. I guess I can go back and check and make sure. I'm not missing anything that I
loved. Yeah, no, those are my favorites. I'm looking. Why is this one of the most popular ones? Is like, what's it feel like to have ADD?
Oh, and that turned into a really interesting MetaTalk thread, actually. Because people talked about it, and of course what always happens is a lot of people are like, oh my God, that's totally how my brain works, and I just figured my brain was broken, but it looks like my brain has a thing that other brains have, and maybe if I wanted to, I could get this part of my brain fixed or changed or, you know, whatever you say about it.
Yeah.
Which happens every time we have an ADD thread.
Yeah.
Really.
Well, people forget.
I don't know. I have no idea.
Shiny things.
I was going to read the last one, but I got distracted.
But yeah, I mean, I mentioned like the last, I don't know, I seem to date people with ADD, though I don't have ADD. And, you know, kind of made a comment about it. Because I think for people who don't live inside it, they're just like, whatever, get off the internet, hippie. But if you've actually been kind of living with it your whole life, it really sort of alters your viewpoint and how you interact with people. So
I've had interesting interactions with people who discovered it late in life. And then I guess you take speed for it, right? Like you take some sort of
Take speed, but it doesn't act on you like speed. Although people argue that point. But yeah, basically.
I would say half of the people I know take the speed and they totally calm down. They're laser focused. And half the people probably might have been misdiagnosed and they're like crazy. They're just fucking crazy.
One of the things about the laser focus is that that is actually part of ADD. Like, you can have hyper focus be part of it. Right. It's just that you can't control it. So you might get like really, really into a video game, but you can't get really, really into doing the laundry, taking out the trash, making food, like things you can't get into. You just can't get into it all. So people think ADD people are not focused, and that's generally not true. It's just that their focus is way out of their control.
It's the attenuation problem.
Exactly. You don't know anything about that, do you?
You know, it's funny. I like these threads when they come around every once in a while, because I'm one of those people who's like distractible enough that every once in a while I kind of wonder if like maybe I've got some sort of undiagnosed, which is an easy thing for people to do, and I've heard plenty of people express annoyance about people basically sort of like self-quasi-unclinically diagnosing themselves, because then you can say, oh, I've got ADD. But, you know, I wonder about it every once in a while because I have pretty hyper days sometimes. But then I read a thread like that and I see people really talking in detail about what they struggle
not
with and how they
doing
struggle with.
The laundry. Right.
Yeah. And I'm like, yeah, no, I'm probably just kind of distractible.
Missing flights. Yeah. There's a whole bunch of, things that are fairly normal in the ADD person's life that don't appear to be fairly normal in yours.
Yeah, I think the nerd tendency is everyone thinks every nerd has Asperger's and ADD, combined somehow.
Right.
Oh, I forgot this one. This is my absolute favorite thread, or one of them. Just interesting events in the U.S. as we're gearing up towards summer. Things that are just sort of, you know, fit the flavor of a region, or, you know, like there's just all kinds of crazy little events. You know, like accordion festivals and state fairs and very specific things to very specific areas. And that's like, this is an awesome just rundown of a zillion things.
In the U.S. And I've been to one of them this year. I went to the Iditarod.
Sweet.
Very exciting. I've been to a couple of these. Yes, some of these are awesome. I'd like to see one that was international.
Yeah, true.
Because obviously it's like, yeah, blah, 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 America, but it would really be cool to see this stuff not only for Canada, but the rest of the larger world. And Australia, plan a trip.
Cheese rolling festival in the UK. which was, I think, on Metafilter recently and joked about in Spinal Tap and stuff. I think that's about it for.
We've already talked for 2.5 hours.
50, yeah.
I actually wanted to mention a couple things off music real quick since I haven't been.
Are they your own songs?
No, they aren't. No, they aren't. No, I won't even mention my new album in Coetry.
We mentioned your new album.
I know. See, that was ironic. See, that was. But no, there was a nice little off-brand cover of Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, the theme song.
Oh wait, there was a song I really heard that I love too. Keep going.
So that's really great. It's kind of that's all there is to say about it, but it's pretty great. You should go listen to it just because it's an entertaining, you know, silly cover. And then there's another one. This is a good song from Uncle Ozzy, Ode on an Irish Pub, that he posted. It's a nice sort of noisy Irish rock, Dropkick Murphys, that sort of feel to
it. For St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah. But beyond that, the thread also sort of turned into an argument about beer, which seemed pretty much perfect. And yeah, it's been fun sort of arguing about beer with Major Dundee, who's in the UK, and sort of like pissing on US beer, and then us over in the US being, oh, but you're not drinking the right beer. And it turned into, you know, it's like 17 comments long now, and we kind of forgot that it was a post about a song. We're just yelling at each other about beer now. I was very entertained. So,
and we got into a minor similar disagreement in Austin in a fake Irish pub that apparently was based on a real Irish pub that was shipped to Austin in a really weird whatever. Like, that was just strange. We were like in a Hollywood set for an Irish pub that was absolutely pitch perfect, but
where Guinness cost how much? Like some crazy amount of money.
$6, and it wasn't. And I will agree with every European and Irishman that Guinness in Ireland tastes a zillion times better and is, yeah, our Guinness sucks.
Horrible. I like this song, too, while we're talking about songs, which was just a Joy Division cover that I thought was good.
Oh, yeah, that was nice.
Sweet.
Yeah, very pretty. And by L2P that I don't think we have. They basically have made a couple comments on Metafilter and 4 music posts. So go them.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I will try to work these into the recording. Awesome.
Awesome, possum.
All right. Episode 50 in the can.
Fucking
over and out.
Customize yours, I can.